Please pray with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is some wicked way within me, and put me on the path that leads into your kingdom. And then, Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The text to which I would focus the attention of the church this morning is really from that Hebrews 11th chapter and just verse 27. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. That is our text. My friends in Christ, I bear to you the grace, the mercy, and the peace from the God and Father of our Lord Christ. Amen. Like ministry and this seminary, have a great partnership in ministry. We are partnering together for the sake of the Concordia Fort Wayne Extension at Concordia College Selma. This past July, three seminarians were ordained into the ministry at our convocation, and four were introduced to the church at our convocation as new pastors for ministry. This seminary has honored some of our pastors at the convocation. And now this day that you have set aside as a time for celebration and reflection on Lutheranism among African Americans, and I think Africans across the world. We cannot commend you enough for this. In this month, like History Month, when congregations of our Senate all over the nation are pausing to reflect and to remember this as a time to call attention to the necessity for diversity and for commitment to continue the struggle to belong, to extend the freedoms of our nation to all its people. I am reminded of a poet from Alabama who went to live in New York, and he carried with him a rock in his pocket. And he reports that from time to time he would take that rock out of his pocket and hold it in his hands, and people would ask, "Why the rock?" And his response was, "It helps me remember from where I came from and to appreciate the opportunities that are before me now." Black History Month is just that for us. Living by faith is the way we have come to this moment. Faith is a precious word for Lutherans. Faith is, says Luther, the way in which we share in the power of God. We've come to know it as a hand with which we receive the forgiveness of sins through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We hear the word faith, and we think of that special set of Bible passages. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then the prayer of faith: Lord, increase my faith. We think of faith and the Reformation principle by faith alone. As we make our way through the church year with this word faith, we meet blind Bartimaeus, the 10 lepers, at least one of them, the woman who wanted only to touch the hem of his garment, and all of these we know hear from our Lord Jesus those empowering words: "Go, your faith has made you well." In these ways, we have come to know faith as a hand that connects us to life energizing, body healing, soul saving, way making, Christ confessing power. In this 11th chapter of Hebrews, faith is an exploding dynamite in the bosom of the believer. The head and heart, speech and conduct, spirit and attitude of a person are changed by faith. The church at Damascus, we remember, is comforted because the persecutor now prays. And we know his prayer, "Lord, what will you have me do?" Faith changed him and compelled him to live out of it. With these affirmations, we come to this 27th verse of the 11th chapter about Moses. And let me talk for a moment about this Moses. Oh, he was a flesh and blood person. He was shaped in iniquity and conceived in sin. He is, in the words of Jeremiah, a transgressor from the womb. His divine assessment is what I see on the page of St. Paul, that which I ought to, I do not do, and that which I should not do, that is what I do. His heart, like all of our hearts, are continually focused toward evil. The psalmist holds out the word of hope for him. "I have strayed like a lost sheep," the psalmist prays. "Lord, seek your servant." And that's precisely what the Lord has done. The Lord God Almighty sought him out and put faith in his heart, and faith made him an extraordinary child and gave his parents unrelenting courage. Faith gave this Moses self-esteem and connected him to his heritage and destiny as a child of God. And while he had status and social position and privilege as the son of the king, faith compelled him to live in mistreatment with the people of God. His value system came from faith. Faith possessed him. And therefore, we read in our text, the anger of the king did not rattle his cage. The far-reaching arm of the king did not make him afraid. He left Egypt. He lives the faith he confesses. Then our text outlines his life and living. He was successful, the text says, because he saw him who is invisible. Now, I don't know about you, but I just take that little tag and I walk back through his life rather quickly. I go back to the Red Sea and say, he endured because he saw him who is invisible. I walk with him through those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and I say, he endured because he saw him who is invisible. I stand with him at Mount Sinai when the people says, let God talk to you, Moses, not to us. And I say that he did not despair because he saw him who is invisible. I say that his whole life was a success at the work of deliverance that God had assigned to him. And he was successful because he saw him who is invisible. Now, I know this is Black History Month, and I want to just say a word about Black history. I think all of Black history can be told in the story from the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In that final sermon, he talked about it. He was in Memphis, and danger was swirling all about him, and people urged him to turn back, to leave Memphis. They talked about the threats on his life. They talked about Memphis as a losing cause, he wrote. And then he gave his answer. "I am not leaving. I am not afraid. I have been to the mountaintop," and in the language of Hebrews, he said, "I have seen him who is invisible." Faith made that, did that for him. Faith. It's not just for them. In the church of which I am a member, there was this member who should have been dead months ago. Her circumstances were so hopeless that her doctor urged her to relent just a little in her faith. And then they stopped treating her and recommended that she go to all these counselors. And the church got wind of it, and then they quickly arranged to have a celebration of her life and to give a testimony to her. And then they sent me to visit with her. And in my visit, they said, go and pray with her and commune with her. And when I went, I found why her life was as it is. It was clear to me that she is one of those whose eyes have seen him who is invisible. And faith did that for her. And I thank God for the faith that is in her bosom. Oh, as I look about in this new century and this new time, I say the time of faith is not past, it is now. As I look around and as I read in our church, I say the time of faith has not passed, it is now. And then you know, as I know, that faith is a gift of God. You know, as I know, that God uses his word to create it. It is given in baptism and nourished at the sacrament of the altar. You know, as I know, that the word blesses it and worship strengthens it. Preaching motivates it and fellow members encourages it. And Christ incarnates himself in it so that we share in the power of God. And where we find it, we find people who are courageous in life, who with their commitment stay the course. And so we read, by faith Moses left Egypt, not fearing the anger of the king, and he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And I just trust and I pray that I am among men and women now whose eyes have seen him who is invisible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.